Appreciate y'all coming so much. Dennis is talking about 1 Corinthians 13. He says the perfect is when we enter into heaven. And he mentioned about face to face, seeing somebody face to face in heaven. But I didn't go into this last time, but I can prove from 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, that which is perfect cannot be referring to the time, heaven, when we all get to heaven, when Christ comes, for example, at the end of the world. Here's a verse from it's the NABRE, okay? New American Bible is what that stands for. Here's how 1 Corinthians 13, 10 and 13 put together from the New American Bible. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. I emphasized that last time. But I didn't emphasize this from verse 13. Faith, hope, love remain, these three. Now there's a contrast going on here between 1 Corinthians 13, verse 10. These things, when the perfect comes, these things shall be done away. That's verse 10. Verse 13, faith, hope, love, those will remain. Here's what we learned from that, okay? That whenever that which is perfect is, when the miraculous gifts stop, prophecy in tongues, miraculous knowledge, the way that God revealed His New Testament law before we had to complete the New Testament, when those things stop, faith and hope will keep on going. Remember, it says, when the perfect comes, read that at the top, the partial will pass away, faith, hope, love remain. Those three things are going to keep on going. But did you know at the second coming of Christ, faith and hope will stop? So since 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13 says, faith and hope will continue past that which is perfect, but we know from other passages that faith and hope will stop at the second coming of Christ, that proves, you see what I mean, Duncan, that which is perfect can't refer to the second coming of Christ. They have to be at two different times. And I'm going to prove that. You follow what I'm saying, Don? Okay. Let's show that. First of all, faith, and we'll repeat it again in the red, faith and hope will abide through that which is perfect. That's verse 13. But the next thing in red, you can read those details if you want to, the second coming of Christ does away with the need for faith. Let's look at some of these passages. We'll have to look them up. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Everybody turn to their Bibles. 2 Corinthians 5. And what we're going to show is that the second coming of Christ, there's not going to be any more need for faith. 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. So now that we're in the body, we walk by faith. But when we're absent from the body and present with the Lord, we won't need faith anymore. You don't have to have faith that you're going to be in heaven with the Lord once you are in heaven. Faith goes away. Faith is, as we turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, that's the next passage there. Everybody turn to Hebrews 11, verse 1. I almost quoted it, but I didn't want to mess it up. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Once you get to heaven, once you see it, you don't have faith anymore, because faith is walking, but when you don't have sight. You believe in something, though you can't see it or touch it. Once you get to heaven, you see it or touch it. It's not faith anymore. Same thing with hope, Dennis. Faith is the evidence of things not seen, the evidence of things not seen, the substance of things hoped for. When I was growing up, I wanted this present on December 25th. I was hoping for a bicycle. Once I got the bicycle, I didn't have to hope for that spider bike anymore. Okay? Once you get it, you don't have to hope for it anymore. Once you're in heaven, you don't have to have faith anymore. You've already got it realized. You already got what you're hoping for. One more passage talking about hope. Read, let's go to Romans 8, 24. I think I used to be a lot quicker about this, Ronnie, because I certainly can't get all near as much done as I used to could. Romans 8, 24 says, we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? You see the point? once you've got what you're hoping for, you don't need to hope for it anymore. Faith is for us now because we can't see God. We have faith in Him. Once there will be with Him, there's no more faith. Now, what I've just proven is that faith and hope will stop at the second coming of Christ. But the contrast in 1 Corinthians 13:10-13 is that the gifts will stop at that which is perfect, but faith and hope will remain. These three, faith, hope, and charity, these three. So look at my diagram there. As I've got it, prophecy and tongues and knowledge are going to stop at that which is perfect, according to 1 Corinthians 13:8-10. But faith and hope will go on past that which is perfect and stop at the second coming of Christ. That means, if the Bible means what it says, it's impossible for that which is perfect to be the same time as the second coming of Christ. It's got to be sometime before that. Because there's going to be a period in there, we're in that period, when the prophecy and tongues and knowledge, miraculous knowledge, have stopped at that which is perfect, but faith and hope keep on going because they stop at the second coming. Can everybody see that? So the perfect cannot be at the same time as the second coming of Christ. Now, Dennis assumed that, asserted that, said that's when we're in heaven. He didn't prove anything. I spent my whole speech, my first speech, proving that which is perfect based upon the context. It's of the same nature, essence as the parts. The parts is the means by which God gave His New Testament revelation in parts. Therefore, the perfect has to be the means by which God gives His New Testament revelation or law in whole or in belief. I spent the whole first speech proving that. Dennis just got there and said, no, perfect refers to heaven. He didn't prove it. He just said it. He just asserted it. Evidently, if you go and listen to Dennis, he doesn't have to prove what he says about the Bible. He just asserts it, and everybody just assumes it is so just because he said it. As I said, Dennis is mixing apples and oranges. Suppose Fred offered Ethel, remember the I Love Lucy thing, Debbie, Morgan, a piece of an apple, and Ethel replied, no thank you, I want a whole one. What kind of fruit does he want? John? Yeah, I don't want the piece, I want a whole one, because it's of the same nature as the piece. That means he's not asking for a whole orange. He's asking if he's, I want a piece. You want this piece of an apple? No, I want a whole. He's talking about an apple, okay? So Ethel would be asking for a whole apple, not necessarily for the same apple that the peace offer came from, but a whole apple nonetheless, not an orange. How would Fred know that Ethel wanted a whole apple and not a whole orange? Because the whole is of the same essence or nature as the part. And so the perfect is not specified in 1 Corinthians 13, what the perfect is. He just says, these gifts will stop at the perfect. Dennis will agree with that. He says the perfect is heaven. But no, the perfect is set in contrast with the parts. So if we know what the parts are, we're going to know what the perfect is. Because they're going to be of the same nature or essence. And what's the part? It's not a partial second coming. It's not going to heaven halfway. It's miraculous knowledge, prophecy, and tongues. Means by which God revealed His New Testament law in part. They needed that because it wasn't until almost the end of the first century when the whole New Testament was all written out, 27 books, where people could put it in their Bible and carry it around. So in the meantime, they needed those spiritual gifts so they would know what New Testament law was. But once they got the complete New Testament law, they didn't need the New Testament law revealed in parts anymore. You wouldn't need it anymore because you got the whole thing. Why would you need it in parts? You have the whole thing. Once you got the whole New Testament, you don't need somebody to supernaturally reveal Don, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, because Don's got it sitting right here in Mark 16:16, and I can check Don by reading it out of my Bible. Illustration at the bottom of this chart. Suppose a friend was writing a book you were very interested in. Very interested. She might send you a chapter a week as she was writing the book, but after she was done and sent you a complete or perfect copy of the book, there wouldn't be any need for you to get the books chapter by chapter anymore, would there? She wouldn't need to keep sending you once a week a chapter if you got the whole thing sitting at your house and read the whole thing. But while she's writing the whole thing, it might be valuable to get it in parts. Get a chapter a week so you can read it as she's writing. Once you got the whole thing, you don't need the parts anymore. See, Dennis is saying, once you got the whole thing, you still need the parts. And I'm saying, no, you don't. Once you got the whole book, You don't need chapters sent to you once a week anymore. Okay? Now, Dennis mentioned Hebrews 13, verse 8. Well, I have enough hands here. Be careful if I was trying to hold that microphone. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He acted like that proves if he had the gifts then, therefore they have the gifts, we have the gifts now. First of all, that's not a sound argument. Second of all, now I'm not accusing Dennis of being dishonest. He doesn't realize what he did, but he doesn't even believe his own argument. You know how I know that? Because I agree with Dennis that Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. But does that mean that we still have to do animal sacrifices and circumcise our little boys and we can't work on Saturday and we can't eat pork and catfish? Is that what that means? Dennis doesn't believe that, does he? He knows those things have changed. So just because Jesus is the same and always will be the same doesn't mean his law doesn't change. Hebrews 7:12 says, for the priests have been changed, there's made a necessity of change also the law. Jesus is the same, but his law changes. Dennis sees that, and if he sees that, means he doesn't really believe his own argument. So the gifts were in operation, Dennis. They could heal back then, prophesy in tongues and things like that back then. And Jesus is still the same way today, but that doesn't mean the operation of gifts is necessarily the same, any more than the law is the same. Not only has then I proven that's an unsound argument, I've shown you why Dennis doesn't really believe the argument, but he made it anyway. That should tell you something. That should tell you something right there. Love you, Dennis. Dennis says the reason I don't believe in miracles is because I've never seen a miracle. I've been to many healing services. Many of them. I still never seen a miracle that you can confirm. I'll give you an example. Went to a healing service and they healed people of their smoking habit and inner ear problems. Nothing anybody could verify. Nothing they could verify. In the Bible, when they did a heal somebody, they raised them from the dead. It's like blind birth. You could verify. Let me just do a little challenge. Now, this doesn't really prove anything, but I'm going to give you a little challenge, Dennis. If you really can do what you say, before COVID, I used to go knocking on doors. I tried to knock on doors 5 hours a week. I did that for about 10 to 12 years. Got a lot of Bible stuff. You know who was with me almost every time? That fellow right there, Wesley. Can you look at Wesley? Tell him he's a special needs child. He's very special. Has Downs. Dennis, if he had the power, heal Wesley right now. We're going to know if Dennis got the power. Now, this doesn't prove anything, really, because Dennis could be a false teacher, and maybe the gifts are for today, and Dennis can't do it because he's a false teacher. We proved last night he's a false teacher. But if Dennis thinks he can heal somebody, Wesley's sitting right there. And if he can heal him, we'll know for 100% sure Dennis has got this power. When I was going knocking on doors all those years, almost every Sunday afternoon when I went, I would knock on the door that was somebody like Dennis. They said, we believe we can heal people. We can do it. I said, heal Wesley. Stand right here. Must have been 100 or 200 people I ran across like you, Dennis, and not a single person ever tried, which means they know they're going to have the gift. The gift of God, if Jesus was right here and he wanted to heal Wesley, he could do it with a snap of his fingers, and there'd be no doubt about it. Everybody who wouldn't hear would know that Wesley is back to normal. But Dennis won't even try. Nobody will ever even try because they know they don't have this power. We got a way for Dennis to prove it to us. Wesley's sitting right there. Look at him. Dennis can do it. If he does it, it'll be no mistake about it. It won't be like an inner ear problem or the smoking habit, which nobody can confirm. No, Dennis won't do it. And then he brought up Mark 16, verse 17. These signs shall follow them that believe. Of course, Dennis, we've already explained this. The miraculous gifts, the tongues, and the prophecies were in operation during the first century. So the signs did follow those that believed. They did. We can read about that all the way throughout the New Testament. They followed the believers. There's no doubt about that. But Dennis believes that the tongues will stop at the second coming of Christ. There'll be no more need for them in heaven. Well, does this prove there's going to be tongues in heaven? No, Dennis would say no. So he knows this passage is talking about why during the first century when the gifts were in operation. He knows that, but it's not telling the duration of the gifts, because he doesn't believe Mark 16:17 is going to be applicable once that which is perfect has come. They believe the perfect is heaven. After we get the perfect, when we get to heaven, he doesn't believe the signs will follow the believers, the tongues will follow the believers then. So he knows this passage doesn't tell the duration of the gifts. He knows it doesn't, but he used the argument anyway. And why did he do that? Because he knows he doesn't have any argument that will prove his position tonight. Matthew 10:1, he says, he gave them power to heal. Of course. Same answer. That was during the days when the miraculous gifts were in operation. Of course that would be true. But 1 Corinthians 13:8-10 says the gifts would cease. So does Zechariah 13. Matthew 10:1 doesn't tell the duration. It just says those gifts would be in operation during that time. But Dennis agrees with me that after the perfect has come, whatever that is, whatever the perfect is, then they wouldn't have power anymore to do that. There'd be no need for it. Then in Revelation 21:1 and following, which I agree is talking about heaven, Dennis must have said five times in that day. In that day, Pat, in that day, he must have said that five times. He's keying off the phrase that Robbie from Zechariah 13. In that day, he says, well, basically he's saying he's talking about when we get to heaven. How many minutes? When we get to heaven. But did you notice in the passage never said in that day? But did you notice that in Zechariah 13, I gave you 8 or 10 places where it says in that day, in that time period. And then we proved what the time period was. It wasn't the time period of the second coming of Christ, meaning heaven. It was the time period of the first coming of Christ. Did we not prove it? Look at the verses I gave. Chapter 13, verse 1. In that day there shall be a fountain open for sin and uncleanness. Clearly referring to the death of Christ. Paid for sin. Is that first? What's your first name?
Denver.
Huh?
Denver.
Is that? Did he die in the first coming or the second coming? First time. That's easy. Chapter 9, verse 9. Thy king cometh unto me lowly and riding upon a donkey, upon a colt, the foal of a donkey. Daniel, first coming or second coming?
Which?
Daniel 9, 9. He's riding on a donkey. Isn't that the triumphal entry that we read about in Matthew 21:5? How about 11, 12 through 13? Now, ladies and gentlemen, I love you all. Look at these verses. Are these talking about heaven, the second coming of Christ? Are they talking about the time period of the first coming of Christ? It's very clear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver, cast them to the potter. Young man, what's your name?
Walker.
Walker, first or second coming?
First.
When did Judas betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver? That's so obvious you can't miss it. But Dennis is missing it. Why? Because he starts out, and I love him, he's starting out with his conclusion, what he wants it to be. Am I getting out of line, Ronnie? Okay. Maybe. 12:10, you don't want to judge people's motives. 12:10, his only son whom they have pierced. First coming of Christ or second coming of Christ? First coming of Christ. John 19:37 applies it to Jesus at his crucifixion. Chapter 13, verse 6, what are these wounds in thy hands? First coming to Christ, second coming to Christ. First. Chapter 13, verse 7. Smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. First or second coming? Matthew 26:31, Jesus applied this to his first coming. When he was crucified, the sheep, the disciples, the apostles, like Peter, scattered. He denied Jesus 3 times. Here's how he puts it. It is written, smite the shepherd, the sheep shall be scattered. It quotes Zechariah 13:7, and applies it to the time period of the first coming of Christ. Now, Zechariah 13:2 says the prophets will pass out of the land. Now, Dennis knows that whatever time period this is talking about, the prophets are going to go away, because he said this is talking about heaven. In that day in heaven, Revelation 21. But did we find out from the context this is talking about the first coming of Christ or the second coming of Christ? It's 100% clear. There's no way you can miss it if you really want to know the truth.
2 minutes.
Then he said, Dennis, we don't know everything. We only know in part. So he's saying, okay, we'll know everything when we get to heaven. Dennis, we're not talking about what we know. Of course, Rodney and I study the Bible a lot, but we don't know everything in the Bible, do we, Rodney? That's not what 1 Corinthians 13 is talking about. Not how much will we know everything. It's talking about will everything be revealed. You remember in John 16:13? Jesus told the apostles right before he died, and you shall know truth, and the truth shall set you free. In other words, Jesus was going to reveal, through the Holy Spirit, the apostles, all of the truth. Jude verse 3, delivered the faith once delivered to the saints, is talking about the fact that we got the complete revelation. Not necessarily that we know everything. I probably will never know what the square root of 239 is. In heaven, I probably still won't know it. Won't even care. I'm not going to know everything, but we have the complete revelation. And I've got it right here, all 27 books, and it's been completely revealed. That's what 1 Corinthians 13 is talking about. And then he said that, is it Clark, Dinkin Clark? Did I get your name right? Was healed of cancer 3 times? My father-in-law, 96, teaching us the matter of prophets in 71 on Sunday morning Bible class. That's pretty good. He's had cancer 3 times, too. He's all clear from cancer. But nobody like Peter or Paul laid his hands on him and he was healed miraculously, instantly. He went through what the doctors told him to do and we prayed for him like crazy. God might have healed him behind the scenes. We don't know for sure because we can't tell. It's not a sign. That's praying for somebody to be healed of a disease and hoping that God will heal them. That's not the kind of miracles I'm talking about. That may or might not happen. It's not going to happen instantly, whichever way. It's taught in the Bible, it was somebody's blind from birth and they snapped their fingers or put their hands on them, they healed instantly. It proved they were from God because God would not perform a miracle through some liar or fraud. John 3:2.